This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. It's Friday, TGIF, June 5th in the year of our Lord, 2026. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, real easy to do, 405-608-4377 is the number to dial, 405-608-4377. We got a whole bunch to talk about this morning. Well, because of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's investigators, a child predator will die in prison. We'll talk live with the investigator who built the case against this monster on your Freedom 96.9 First Responder Friday. Plus, Brent Swadley is looking for political favors from jail after his conviction for trying to bilk Oklahoma taxpayers out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. We'll talk about that. Shifts in the law are regulating medical marijuana. They're leaving growers scrambling. We'll take a look into that also. And it's God's Light Show. We'll be able to see. Will we be able to see the Northern Lights in Oklahoma? We'll tell you all about it coming up. But first, time for your Freedom First headlines on Freedom 96.9. A Pottawatomie County jury has sentenced Dustin Farrell to life in prison plus 60 years after convicting him of sexually abusing multiple children. Investigators said the case involved several young victims and followed an extensive investigation by the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office. Prosecutors presented evidence of repeated abuse and jurors found Farrell guilty on multiple counts. Authorities praised the victims and their families for their courage throughout the case, calling the sentence a significant step forward toward justice and accountability for the crimes committed. Coming up, we'll talk live with the investigator who broke the case and locked this monster up for life. Convicted Oklahoma restaurant owner Brent Swadley is back in court as prosecutors seek to keep him behind bars while he awaits sentencing in the state parks fraud case. Prosecutors allege that Swadley used his jail phone to discuss possible political connections and favors from public officials after his conviction on six felony fraud counts. Swadley was found guilty of defrauding the state through contracts tied to the Foggy Bottom Kitchen restaurants at Oklahoma State Parks. Prosecutors are asking for a 10-year prison sentence while the defense disputes the allegations and plans to appeal. Sentencing is scheduled for July. A road rage confrontation in southeast Oklahoma City ends with gunfire on Thursday afternoon, sending one person to the hospital. Oklahoma City police responded to an area near southeast 95th Street and Bryan Avenue, where investigators say an argument between drivers escalated into a shooting. The victim was transported to a nearby hospital, though their condition has not yet been released. Police quickly took one suspect into custody and believe the incident stemmed from road rage. The investigation remains ongoing as detectives work to determine exactly what led to that violence. One person is dead after an early morning house fire near Northwest 10th Street and North Council Road in northwest Oklahoma City. Firefighters responded to the scene on Thursday and found the home heavily engulfed in flames. Authorities say the man was pulled from the house and crews attempted life-saving efforts, but he later died from his injuries. Investigators also discovered there were no working smoke detectors inside the residence. The cause of the fire remains under investigation as officials work to determine just what sparked the deadly blaze. A Yukon family of 12, meanwhile, is starting over after a devastating house fire destroyed their home this week. Fire investigators responded to the blaze and found that the residence was heavily damaged. Everyone inside was able to escape safely, but one family pet did die in the fire while another one was rescued. Officials say the home is a total loss, leaving the large family displaced and searching for temporary housing. Investigators are still working to determine what caused the fire as the community rallies to help that family recover. War Acres police say a Metro man is behind a string of business burglaries that left several companies in the dark. Investigators arrested 52-year-old William Donovan, who is accused of cutting power to businesses before breaking in and stealing property. Police say at least six businesses were targeted using the same method, helping detectives connect those cases. After gathering evidence, officers took Donovan into custody. He's now facing multiple burglary-related charges as investigators continue reviewing whether he may be linked to additional crimes in the area. A Claremore man is behind bars this morning after investigators say he threatened two of the state's highest-ranking officials. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation arrested 52-year-old William Rasmussen after authorities say he made threats against Governor Kevin Stitt and Attorney General Gettner Drummond. Investigators say the threat stemmed from repeated phone calls Rasmussen made to the Oklahoma State Banking Department regarding a complaint involving a Claremore bank. Rasmussen was arrested at a Claremore motel and booked into the Rogers County Jail on complaints of threatening an act of violence and violating the Oklahoma Computer Crimes Act. Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is facing a very different reality than the boom that followed the legalization of marijuana. Growers and business owners say oversupply, falling prices, and tighter regulations have made it difficult to stay profitable, forcing many operations to close their doors. At the same time, Governor Kevin Stitt continues to push for stronger oversight of the industry, citing concerns about illegal grows and bad actors. While state leaders say regulation is needed to stabilize the market, many growers argue that the combination of low prices and increased costs is squeezing legitimate businesses and reshaping Oklahoma's once thriving cannabis economy. A proposal to open up Oklahoma's primary elections is facing another legal challenge before the state's highest court. Supporters of State Question 836 want to replace Oklahoma's closed primary system with a top two format, allowing all voters to participate regardless of party affiliation. But opponents, including the Oklahoma Republican Party, argue that the measure violates political parties' constitutional rights by weakening their control over selecting candidates. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is now weighing those arguments, and its decision will determine whether supporters can continue efforts to place the proposal before Oklahoma voters. We'll take your calls and comments on this later on in the hour. If you want to weigh in, give us a call, 405-608-4377. Oklahoma is making progress in getting students back into the classroom. A new report shows that the state's chronic absenteeism rate has improved and now sits below the national average. State education leaders say attendance has steadily recovered since the pandemic, with fewer students missing large amounts of school. While officials are encouraged by the improvement, they say absenteeism remains a challenge, especially among certain student groups. Educators continue working on attendance initiatives, stressing that the regular classroom time is one of the strongest indicators of academic success and long-term student achievement. New census data is shedding light on why more people are choosing to move to Oklahoma City. The report shows the metro continues to attract newcomers with a lower cost of living, affordable housing, and a growing job market compared to many larger cities. Oklahoma City has seen steady population growth as residents relocate from higher cost states in search of economic opportunities and a more affordable lifestyle. City leaders say continued investment in infrastructure, entertainment, and downtown development is also helping to draw new residents and businesses, fueling the region's rapid growth and changing demographics. And Oklahomans could have a chance to see the Northern Lights this week as a geomagnetic storm moves across the Earth. Forecasters say the best opportunity to spot the aurora will be between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. when the skies are the darkest. Experts recommend heading away from city lights and looking toward the northern horizon for the best view. Visibility will depend on cloud cover and the strength of the storm, but residents in northern Oklahoma may have the greatest chance of catching the rare and colorful display lighting up the night sky. Well, this week, Pottawatomie County Sheriff's deputies locked up a monster who preyed on children. That guy's going away for the rest of his life. Building a case like that, especially when children are involved, is never easy. Coming up after the break, the investigator who broke the case and got this animal locked up for life. Then later on in the hour, we'll lighten things up a bit with your dad joke of the day. I've got mine. I definitely want to hear yours this morning. 405-608-4377 if you want to check in. 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Check it out. Freedom traffic on this Friday morning. Yukon to downtown, 23 minutes. Norman to downtown, 27 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 25 minutes. Got a couple of construction issues. That bridge work continues. May and Northwest Expressway. Also, bridge work I-44 and Southwest 74. Construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
Larry Stein,
Oklahoma County Assessor.
Larry Stein's office saves more than $5 million a year.
That's $14,000 a day
using advanced technology.
Larry Stein's office earns awards for leadership, transparency, and efficiency.
The other guy has lots of DUIs,
felony convictions,
hasn't paid his property taxes,
and even served prison sentences in Oklahoma and Kansas.
Can you trust a felon with DUI?
You can trust Larry Stein.
Stick with Stein.
Vote Larry Stein.
Vote early.
Vote absentee.
Vote June 16th.
Paid for by families and friends of Larry Stein.
I'm Larry Stein. I approve this message.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
We're here talking with Stephen Smith from ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, how can ICS make pool decks safer and better?
Our Pentek coatings are a game changer for pool decks. They're slip resistant for safety, UV resistant to prevent fading, and tough enough to withstand Oklahoma sun, rain, and freeze-thaw cycles. Plus, they look stunning with customizable finishes.
All right. Well, safe and stylish. That's perfect for pool parties. How quick is the installation?
We're in and out in a single day. Our coatings cure fast, so you're back to enjoying your pool by the next afternoon. There's no long disruptions.
Well, talk about convenience. So what should our listeners do to get started?
Just call for a free estimate. We'll design a pool deck that's both functional and beautiful.
Make your pool deck shine with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012, 405-403-4012. Or go to ICSConcreteCoatings.com. That's ICSConcreteCoatings.com for your free estimate today.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, Freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
It's Eric Erickson in Oklahoma City. I'm coming to see you in 2 weeks. Looking forward to it. But right now, we got a lot of news to cover this week. The world continues to be insane. The situation in Iran continues to fester. And my job is to get you through the headlines and all the breaking news right here on Freedom 96.9. And I will take your phone calls as well at 877-973-7425 as we spread freedom across Oklahoma right here on Freedom 96.9, weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback.
And good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback on Freedom 96.9. Today, we're going to see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Pretty humid, too, with a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, some showers, low of 70. On Saturday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a little bit humid. We could see some scattered showers throughout the area, high of 78 degrees. Then on Sunday, look for a mix of clouds and sun. Humid, maybe a chance of more scattered thunderstorms throughout the day on Sunday, high of 85 degrees. It is 7:19 in the morning. Well, this week, Pottawatomie County Sheriff's investigators put a monster behind bars for the rest of his life and made the streets safer for our families. Dustin Farrell was sentenced to life in prison plus 60 years for abusing several children. Investigator Faustino Medrano broke the case. He joins us live. Good morning, investigator.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Are you on a speakerphone at all, or are you on your headset?
In the car right now.
Are you? Any chance you could put the phone up to your face? I'm kind of hearing a little bit of background noise there. So click it off the Bluetooth.
There we are. How's that?
That's 1,000 times better. Thanks. You sounded a little bit like Darth Vader before puberty there. Hey, talk to me a bit about this case, man. Any time you're dealing with child sex abuse cases, those are very, very difficult cases to investigate and very difficult cases to prosecute. Talk to me a bit about this one.
You're absolutely correct. It is very hard to work these cases, just to have to listen to what these kids tell you. I mean, this started out as a regular day in the office. I received a phone call from a deputy of a concerned father after his three little girls told him what had happened. Obviously, immediately we're right on it, in contact with our local child advocacy center, trying to get forensic interviews, same exam set up for these kids. You know, we get them brought in. They make their disclosures of what happened. we start writing warrants for this individual, Clay Darrell Farrell, trying to locate him. We end up locating him in Midwest City. It's probably about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. By this time, once we've written search warrants, located him, we go get him, bring him back, get an interview with him. Of course, he denies everything from the very beginning. But it was very hard for me to believe that he did not do this with what these little girls had told us. Just the terms they used to describe the male anatomy is not something 5 and 6 year olds should know.
Without, I don't want to give any details in terms of the relationship between Mr. Farrell and the kids, but how was he able to have access to these little girls?
He was used as a babysitter.
Gotcha.
By the mother and father of these children.
So oftentimes we see this with these people who are child predators, and that they actually take the time to get to know families. It's not like we see in the movies where they just grab a kid and throw the kid into the back seat of a car. More often than not, there's a hunt involved here. They're grooming not just the children, but they're grooming the families as well to trust them.
Right. And in this case, it was very similar to that. You know, he grew close with the family, which is what led them to believe they could trust him to watch these girls for hours at a time while they were either at the store or having to take care of something else.
Originally, what did he say happened? What was his claim? And during your investigative process, what did you do in order to make sure that you could get the accurate information from him?
Initially, he's saying, you know, yes, I was with them. I've been alone with them several hours on several different occasions. So I use that just kind of lock him in that, yes, he's been alone with these kids. I'm like, well, tell me a little bit. What did y'all do? And they would say, oh, we just, you know, we would play together, we would color, you know, play hide and seek, they'd watch TV or whatnot. And that's about as far as he would go into their actions of what was going on while he was taking care of these little girls. Obviously I'd listen to him to say this. Oh, I think we interviewed for almost 2.5 hours. And finally, I brought up what they were telling me. I was like, well, you know, this is what I'm being told. All three girls are telling me pretty much the same story verbatim, only in different locations. And it's like, well, why did these girls love you so much? And, you know, they trust you and this and that. Why are they making these accusations? Why are they saying these things about you? And of course he was, oh, I don't know. I would never hurt them. I love these girls. And that's just the same response I would get every time I asked the question about it.
So what was really the break in the case then?
That would be once we got DNA results back from the OSBI lab, which confirmed there was presence of male DNA in one of the children.
Yeah, that would definitely do it.
So it was kind of hard for him to refute DNA evidence. Obviously, I wasn't able to really talk to him about that. At that time, he had finally been appointed an attorney who felt it was better that he not speak with me anymore. So I wasn't able to actually confront him with DNA evidence until we were in the midst of the trial.
Yeah. It's always challenging putting children, especially children that young, on the stand. For children, it can be extremely intimidating talking about something, especially something involving their privates in front of a room full of adults, a room full of complete strangers. A judge can be kind of scary to be sitting next to. A jury looking at you can be kind of scary. And oftentimes, juries don't always believe children. Children and juries know this, can sometimes embellish facts. Sometimes they have a hard time separating fact from fiction. And so it's always a challenge when you put children up on the stand, especially in a case like this. Kind of talk to me a bit about that.
So, yes, it is difficult. I don't believe we had that issue with this jury that we had for the trial. I wasn't really getting the sense of while these girls were talking to them that they were having a hard time believing these girls because their story didn't change. I mean, we're looking here over a year later from the original disclosure to what they're saying in court, and their story didn't change. These girls did so well. They were so brave facing the man that did this to them. And I think we only had one of the younger girls. She was still terrified of the man. When it came to the prosecutor asking, well, if the person who did this to you in the courtroom, she wouldn't pick out Clay Darrell. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until after she left the courtroom that she told a family member outside that she had to see him again.
Yeah. It's got to be difficult for the parents, too, because here are the parents. They think they're doing the right thing. They think they've got somebody that they can trust. I'm sure in many ways they blame themselves for this, even though it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault but Farrell. But it's got to be difficult for the parents, too.
No, it was very difficult for them. The mother, very emotional there in her testimony. The father, you could visibly see upset, angry, locking eyes with Farrell pretty much the entire time he was on the witness stand testifying. He never removed his eyes from him. At one point, I felt that the father would attack Farrell as he was walking out of the courtroom, but luckily he was able to keep his composure for these little girls, stay strong, and be there for them when they needed him.
Talk to me a bit about the relief that you felt when you heard the jury say guilty, and then when you found out this guy's going to die in prison.
I mean, it was a tremendous relief off my shoulders. This case actually being the very first case for me as a lead investigator. At that time when it happened, I was only in the criminal investigation division for maybe a month when this came out. And my lieutenant was like, I want you to be lead on this. And just hearing the jury come back with the guilty verdict, believing these little girls, and then telling him he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison was just a relief to me and satisfaction that these girls received the justice that they deserved.
Investigator Faustino Madrono, my apologies, is joining us. He's with the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office. He's talking about the recent conviction and sentencing of Dustin Farrell, who was convicted on charges of molesting three little girls. And as a result of the investigator's efforts, this guy is going to spend the rest of his life in prison. Just briefly kind of talk to me in general in terms of parents. All the time we have to have our kids exposed to people. We have to trust people with our children. What are some of the things that parents can look out for to make sure their kids are safe?
Oh, that's hard because, you know, even more, I don't think so these days, but usually older parents, you know, they want to believe the good in people. They build rapport. They trust these people, and they think that they can trust them with their children. And I'm not saying, you know, you can't trust everybody in the world because there are people out there that you 100% can't trust with your children. All I can say is just keep an eye, really good eye on them. Talk to your kids.
And evil does, you know. Evil does exist. Investigator Faustino Madrono joining us live. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know it's tough to talk about. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. The discovery in Texas of a flesh-eating insect called the New World Screwworm Fly has ranchers on edge. State Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller says one key to stopping the spread is a drug called ivermectin.
A lot of people may have heard of that during COVID. Ivermectin is very effective in treating and preventing screwworm infestations.
China hardened their stance on a show of remembrance for a brutal 1989 crackdown in Beijing. President Trump says his administration will spend nearly $700 million to support coal-fired power plants and coal exports. Speaking with reporters, President Trump says Bill Pulte will not be his nominee for National Intelligence Chief. A takedown of alleged fraudsters in Ohio was announced by the Department of Justice. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. You hear the phrase lawsuit and some people immediately think frivolous, jackpot justice, someone just looking for easy money. But here's the truth most people never hear. Personal injury law is really about accountability. If a trucking company pushes drivers past federal safety limits, if a corporation sells a product they know is dangerous, or if a business ignores hazards that put people at risk, the civil justice system gives ordinary citizens one powerful tool, a jury. And juries do something government regulators often can't. They force companies to publicly answer for their decisions. Most major safety improvements in this country didn't come from corporations voluntarily doing the right thing. They came after lawsuits exposed what companies already knew and what they chose to ignore. Seatbelts, safer pharmaceuticals, product recalls, and corporate safety reforms. Those changes often began with one injured person willing to take a case to court.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A Claremore man has been arrested after investigators say he made threats towards state leaders. Authorities say 52-year-old Williams Rasmussen allegedly threatened Governor Kevin Stitt and Attorney General Gendler Drummond during phone calls to a state agency. Officials say the calls were related to a banking complaint. He has a prior history of making threats and now faces charges, including making threats of violence and computer crimes, with his case ongoing. Well, there are signs of improvement in Oklahoma's teacher shortage as more students enroll in education programs. U of O says its College of Education has seen a 22% increase in enrollment. Officials say more effort has gone into recruiting and helping students complete their degrees as the state has faced a teacher shortage for more than a decade. Oklahoma's annual free fishing days are coming up this weekend, where residents can fish without a license June 6th and 7th. Wildlife officials say it's a great chance to try fishing or get back into the sport. Free classes and other outdoor programs will be offered all summer long, with anglers still required to follow all fishing rules. Officials say the event is open to all skill levels this weekend. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
David Ostro, Republican for Lieutenant Governor.
I'm David Ostro. I flew combat missions for the U.S. Navy hunting Soviet submarines.
David Ostro, Christian servant, husband, father, and business owner. David Ostro knows how to create a growing economy.
I built my company from one employee over 1,000.
David Ostro put the state of Oklahoma's checkbook online to fight fraud and put more money in the real economy. David Ostro knows to improve schools and put more money in the classroom, we must fight the fraud that steals money from students. David Ostro understands to create good-paying jobs for Oklahomans, we must stop payments to illegal aliens.
I've hunted America's enemies, and now I'm hunting fraud, waste, and abuse.
David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor. Same oath, new mission. Authorized and paid for by David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor 2026.
In Oklahoma, we take our barbecue seriously. At Swadley's, it's been that way since 1998. Slow smoking meats for hours and serving every plate with Oklahoma hospitality. Some say we make the best barbecue in the state. We just say it's the only way we know how. Swadley's Barbecue, made by Oklahomans, loved by Oklahoma.
Listening to citizens, solving problems, delivering results. Progress through performance. It's action you can see.
This is Thomas Mansky. It has been an honor to serve the people of Canadian County. Together, we've worked to improve roads, strengthen infrastructure, and keep our communities safe. I believe leadership means listening, working hard, and delivering results for the people we serve. I am committed to continuing that work with integrity, transparency, and a servant's heart.
On June 16th, re-elect Conservative Republican Tom Mansky.
Authorized and paid for by Mansky for Commissioner 2026.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect some sunshine peeking through the clouds, accompanied by breezy and humid conditions with the possibility of a stray thunderstorm. The high will reach 87. Tonight, clouds will be on the rise with a few showers and a thunderstorm likely, maintaining a humid feel with a low of 70. Tomorrow will bring more clouds than sun, with humidity persisting along with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. The high will be 78. Moving on to Sunday, anticipate a humid day with a mix of clouds and sunshine becoming breezy in the afternoon. There is a chance chance of a thunderstorm in some areas with the high reaching 85. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Taking a quick look at our weather today, we're going to see a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's going to be a humid one out there this morning, too, with a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, some showers possible, low of 70. On Saturday, mix of clouds and sun, humid. We might see some scattered showers rolling in later on in the afternoon, high of 78 degrees. Then on Sunday, look for a mix of clouds and sunshine, humid, maybe a chance of some scattered thunderstorms throughout the day on Sunday. High of 85 degrees, 74 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Very humid out there this morning. The air is very, very thick and heavy this June 5th on Friday, 2026. It's 7:37 in the morning. That means it's time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, got me a new girlfriend. She used to date a circus clown.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've got some pretty big shoes to fill.
Oh. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. For me, it's not about quality. It's about quantity. I've got to turn a dad joke every single day. It's about quantity, not quality. Don't judge me, bro.
There you go.
Don't judge me. Here's a look at your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Well, a Pottawatomie County jury has handed down a sentence of life in prison plus 60 years to Dustin Farrell after convicting him of sexually abusing multiple children. Investigators say the case involved several young victims and was the result of an extensive sheriff's office investigation. Prosecutors presented evidence of repeated abuse, leading jurors to find Farrell guilty on multiple counts. Law enforcement officials praised the bravery of the victims and their families, saying the sentence delivers accountability and justice after years of trauma. We just had the investigator on who conducted that investigation. The guy is obviously a pit bull. He wasn't going to let this one go. And because of his determination, he was able to get justice for these three little girls. Well, convicted Oklahoma restaurant owner Brent Swadley is back before a judge as prosecutors push to keep him jailed pending sentencing and the state parks fraud case. Prosecutors claim Swadley used recorded jail calls to discuss potential political connections and favors after being convicted on six felony fraud charges. The case centers on contracts connected to Foggy Bottom Kitchen restaurants operating in Oklahoma State Parks. Prosecutors are seeking a 10-year prison term, while Swadley's attorneys deny any wrongdoing and plan to appeal. The sentencing hearing is expected next month. A road rage dispute in southeast Oklahoma City turned violent on Thursday afternoon when gunfire erupted, leaving one person injured. Police were called to the area of Southeast 95th Street and Bryant Avenue, where investigators say an argument between motorists escalated into a shooting. The victim was taken to a local hospital, but authorities have not yet released information about their condition. Officers quickly detained a suspect and believe the shooting was sparked by road rage. Detectives continue to investigate the circumstances leading up to that incident. An early morning house fire in northwest Oklahoma City has claimed one life. Fire crews responded to a home near Northwest 10th Street and North Council Road and found heavy flames coming from the residence. Authorities say a man was rescued from the home, but despite life-saving efforts, he later died from his injuries. Investigators also reporting there were no functioning smoke alarms inside the house. Fire officials are still working to determine exactly what caused that deadly blaze. And this should be a reminder for all of us to check those smoke alarms. And if you don't have smoke alarms, the Oklahoma City Fire Department will get them for you and hang them up for you free of charge. Just give them a call. A Yukon family of 12 is rebuilding after a fire destroyed their home this week. Firefighters arrived to find significant damage throughout the residence. Everyone inside made it out safely, but the family did lose one pet in the fire while another one was rescued. Officials say the house is a total loss, forcing the family to find temporary housing. Investigators continue searching for the cause of the fire as community members step forward to offer support and assistance. War Acres police say they've arrested a man accused of targeting several businesses and a pretty unique burglary scheme. Investigators say 52-year-old Donovan cut power to businesses before breaking and stealing property. Detectives linked at least six burglaries through the same method of operation after collecting evidence. Officers arrested Donovan, who now faces multiple burglary-related charges. Authorities are also investigating whether he may be connected to additional crimes throughout the metro. A Claremore man facing charges this morning after investigators say he threatened two of Oklahoma's top elected officials. Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation arrested 52-year-old William Rasmussen after allegations that he made threats against Governor Kevin Stitt and Attorney General Gettner Drummond. Authorities say the threats were tied to repeated calls that Rasmussen made to Oklahoma State Banking Department regarding a dispute involving Claremont Bank. Rasmussen was arrested at a local motel and booked into the Rogers County Jail. Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is continuing to navigate difficult conditions just years after its explosive growth. Growers and business owners say falling prices, oversupply, and stricter regulations have made it increasingly difficult to remain profitable. Many operations have been forced to shut down as financial pressures mount. Governor Kevin Stitt has continued advocating for stronger oversight, citing concerns about illegal activity within the industry. Growers argue that the changing landscape is making survival difficult for legitimate businesses across the state. A proposal aimed at opening Oklahoma's primary elections is once again being challenged in court. Supporters of State Question 836 want to replace the current closed primary system with a top two format that would allow voters to participate regardless of party registration. Opponents, including the Oklahoma Republican Party, argue that the measure infringes on political parties' constitutional rights. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is now considering the legal arguments, with its decision likely determining whether the proposal can move forward. Oklahoma students are showing up to school much more often, according to a new report on chronic absenteeism. State officials say absenteeism rates have improved and now rank better than the national average. Attendance has steadily recovered since the pandemic, with fewer students missing significant amounts of class time. Education leaders welcome the progress, but say challenges remain among some student populations. Schools continue focusing on attendance efforts, emphasizing the connection between classroom participation and academic success. New census data is providing insight into why Oklahoma City continues attracting new residents. Researchers point to affordable housing, a lower cost of living, and a growing job market as major factors driving relocation. The metro has experienced steady population growth as people move from more expensive states in search of opportunity and affordability. Local leaders also credit investment in infrastructure, entertainment districts, and downtown development for helping to attract both residents and businesses to the area. Oklahomans have an opportunity to see the northern lights as a geomagnetic storm impacts the Earth. Forecasters say the best viewing window is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. when the skies are the darkest. Experts recommend getting away from city lights and looking toward the northern horizon for the clearest view. Whether the aurora becomes visible will depend on cloud cover and the strength of the storm, but the northern parts of Oklahoma are expected to have the best chance of witnessing that very rare display. We have a lot to talk about this Friday morning. We'd like you to weigh in at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. State Question 836 debate has become one of the biggest election reform fights in Oklahoma. The State Question 836 would replace Oklahoma's closed partisan primaries with a so-called top two primary system like California uses, for example. All candidates would appear on one ballot, all voters would participate regardless of party registration, and the top two vote-getters would advance to the general election, even if they belong to the same party. Now, that could increase voter participation, but it could also weaken parties. After the break, we want to hear what you have to say about it. What concerns do you have? Are you in favor of the measure? If so, we certainly want to hear why. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Check it out. Freedom traffic on this Friday morning. Yukon to downtown 23 minutes. Norman to downtown 27 minutes. Edmond to downtown 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 25 minutes. Got a couple of construction issues. That bridge work continues. May and Northwest Expressway. Also bridge work I-44 and Southwest 74. Construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Running for Oklahoma governor ain't supposed to be easy. You gotta be tough.
So Mike Mazie's whining and crying as we learn about his liberal record? Tough luck, Mikey. See, while President Trump crushed the woke left, Mike Mazie allowed transgender surgeries in Oklahoma. That's right. Mazie voted to allow a taxpayer-funded hospital to hide children undergoing radical gender reassignment treatments, sex changes that transitioned boys into girls and girls into boys. But that's not all. Trump's MAGA movement would have been crushed by Hillary Clinton if Mike Mazie got his way. Mazie voted to remove Oklahoma from the Electoral College, going to a national popular vote that would have rigged the system for crooked Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Mike Mazie, for trying so close.
A transgender ally endangering our kids. A Clinton lover and Trump hater. MAGA phony Mike Mazie. Woke, radical, and just too liberal for Oklahoma. Paid for by Make Oklahoma Great Again. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. 601 South Boulder Avenue, Suite 610. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74119. 918-947-9459.
Are you in the military or an employee or civilian working for the federal government? Find out how you can help heal veterans at HealVets.org. That's HealVets.org.
Vote for Edmund Republican Alex Warren for Oklahoma County Commissioner, a self-made entrepreneur who oversaw over 200 locations for a $1 billion operation for a Fortune 500 company. Alex Warren will restore integrity to the office, fixing roads and infrastructure, protecting taxpayers by operating with the same accountability that all Oklahoma families and businesses expect in their own household. Please vote Alex Warren. Alex Warren. Alex Warren. Paid for by family and friends of Alex Warren.
I'm Alex Warren for County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
Attention candidates. Freedom 96.9 is Oklahoma City's only FM conservative news talk and an excellent and efficient way to reach Oklahoma voters. Advertise for the June 16th primary. Get the vote out. Click on the Contact Us tab at freedom969.com.
Grocery cost up, gas up, property taxes up, and politicians keep wasting your money. I'm Suzanne Callahan, CPA and Republican candidate for House District 38. Numbers don't lie. The government spends too much without real oversight or accountability. Oklahoma families need a fiscal watchdog, not more excuses. On June 16th, vote to protect your paycheck. Vote Republican Suzanne Callahan for House District 38. I approve this message.
Authorized and paid for by Friends of Suzanne Callahan 2026.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
I went to Starbucks and I was tired of ordering the toasted coconut latte and it was hot.
Could I have the tropical butterfly lemonade refresher?
And it said refreshing. I'm looking to be refreshed.
Was it refreshed?
So I, yes.
Do you feel refreshed?
Mark Thiessen is here. So Allison thinks it's the funniest thing she ever heard, but I enjoyed it.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's first news with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9 on this Friday, June 5th in the year of our Lord, 2026. Taking a quick look at the weather forecast for today, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's going to be a humid one, too, with a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, look for clouds, some showers, low of 70. On Saturday, mix of clouds and sunshine, again, more humid with a high of 78 degrees. Then on Sunday, mix of clouds and sun, humid. We could see a chance of scattered showers in the afternoon on Sunday, high of 85 degrees. It's 74 degrees right now under partly cloudy skies at 7:49 in the morning. Let's talk a bit about what's going on today. And if you want to weigh in, 405-608-4377. Again, 405-608-4377. We definitely want to hear from you. Well, State Question 836 has emerged as one of Oklahoma's most closely watched election reform proposals. The measure would essentially eliminate the state's traditional closed primary system and replace it with a top two format, just very similar to what California has, which should be a red flag in and of itself. Under the proposal, all candidates would appear on a single primary ballot, and every registered voter could participate regardless of political party affiliation. The two candidates receiving the most votes would then advance to the general election, even if both candidates are members of the same political party. So supporters say that could lead to potentially, and I agree, potentially more voter participation. Oklahoma has some of the nation's lowest voter turnout, and the closed primaries may shut many voters out of more meaningful elections. They don't feel as though their voice makes a difference because they're not a member of either of the two major parties, so they don't bother turning out. They say independents and voters who don't ally strongly with the party deserve a voice in taxpayer-funded primary elections. I got to agree with that. Obviously, I'm not real wild about the idea of the top two format, but if it brings up more voters, that's certainly a plus. It also could lead to at least potentially more competitive elections. So backers contend that Oklahoma races are effectively decided in party primaries, particularly in Republican primaries. We're seeing that with the gubernatorial race. Obviously, whoever wins the Republican primary for governor, assuming that there's no runoff, that person is going to be the next governor of Oklahoma. There's really no debating that. My assumption is, given how close the numbers are right now, we are going to see a runoff. But either way, the races are very much decided by the primaries in Oklahoma. They argue the top two system would make the candidates appeal to a broader range of voters instead of just races. There's certainly an argument to be made for that. It would also reduce some political polarization. They say advocates say that candidates would have the incentives to attract more moderate and independent voters, potentially leading to less partisan campaigning and more consensus building. Oh, darn, you mean we wouldn't see those angry commercials that we're seeing all the time? I'd certainly miss those. Opponents of it argue that political parties' constitutional rights could be infringed upon. This is really the core legal issue before the courts right now. The Oklahoma Republican Party is arguing that political parties do have a First Amendment right to decide how they select nominees and who participates in that process. They say State Question 836 improperly interferes with that right. And essentially, that's what the Supreme Court is going to be looking at. Not so much whether or not these can happen, but whether or not these are constitutional. And it's going to be really interesting. We're hearing that the Supreme Court could make a decision on that in the coming months. It'll be interesting to see which direction they decide one way or another. There's also a concern among both parties that this could weaken party influence. Critics argue that parties exist to nominate candidates who represent their principles and their principles only. They say an open primary could allow voters from opposing parties to influence which candidates advance. And that certainly makes sense. If there is a Republican party that's not very, a Republican candidate that's not very popular with Democrats, be it because maybe they're very conservative, then you could see Democrats possibly voting in those elections in an attempt to try to make sure that that person is not elected. So obviously that's a concern. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in on this issue, 405-608-4377. There's also the concern that the ultimate election is going to result in two candidates from the same party, and that's what we may be seeing in parts of California very, very soon. One of the biggest political criticisms is that Oklahoma could end up with general elections that feature two Republicans in very heavily Republican districts, or two Democrats in very heavily Democratic areas, leaving some voters feeling unrepresented. It would not be a surprise to see two Democrats running in areas like Oklahoma City or Tulsa. It probably wouldn't be a concern in more rural areas, but it certainly could be a concern in areas that are more urban, like your Oklahoma City, like your Tulsa areas. Even your Midwest cities could see something along those lines. There's a legal controversy here to be discussed, too. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is being asked to decide whether the proposal can move forward despite objections from the Oklahoma Republican Party. The GOP is arguing that the measure violates some freedom of association rights, while supporters point to court precedents from other states that use very similar top two systems. Again, like California, and anything that California does, I don't believe that Oklahoma should be doing anything that California does. So that to me is a major red flag. There are plenty of questions associated with this. Should taxpayer-funded elections be open to all voters? Do political parties have the right to control the nomination process, or does that violate the Constitution? Would open primaries increase voter turnout? I think it probably would. Would the system create more moderate candidates or simply weaken political parties? Is Oklahoma's lower voter participation a result of the primary system, or is it something else entirely? Is it just voter apathy, for example? That's That's a really good question. We do have a caller on the line right now. I just lost him on the screen for some reason. We have got Howard from Watauga on talking about state question 836. Hey, Howard.
Hey, I was talking to Lee about 836. I thought that was it didn't qualify to get on the primary process.
On the ballot, because, I think it still qualifies. Yeah, I think there were enough signatures for it.
So I could have sworn that it was 836, right? So in California, it ruined California. The jungle primaries ruined it because
100%.
The Democrats have had a supermajority there for years, and conservative voices are not heard at all. So that's what they're trying to do here. Is these forces that are trying to bring this jungle primary to Oklahoma, it's basically they want Oklahoma City and the liberal woke mobsters to basically run everything.
I think you're right. You couple that with the gerrymandering that we're seeing,
absolutely.
It makes it impossible to win.
This is not about, I know there's probably low voter turnout, and that's like that in California, too, to a certain extent. But when the Democrats figured out how the jungle primaries would work in their advantage, they used it to destroy California.
Yeah, and still doing it. We're seeing it right now.
Yes.
I guess they're still doing the voter counts right now in Los Angeles and with gubernatorial race out there and that kind of stuff.
I could have sworn Lee and I talked about this, and he said 836 got kicked because they didn't make it in time. So what they took it back, and so they didn't have enough signatures, and they did not apply for it in time, so it got kicked off.
Let me double check that because I'm not sure. It was my understanding it's still on. It's still going forward.
There's some shenanigans going on or something because, I mean, he was fairly sure that they had to wait for the next round on this one. I can guarantee you it's probably the super woke mob that's behind this.
Very good possibility. I know they've got the right to appeal when that type of thing happens. I don't know if they could appeal it in time to get it on the ballot. But, yeah, good
And the
question.
Minimum wage thing, too, was that's 834, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
what's your take
one
on that?
As well. That also destroyed California because small businesses, they just couldn't afford. So when they do that and they set the minimum wage minimums, it small mom-and-pop businesses, they can't compete because, you know, they just can't because they have to pay a minimum wage that, you know, in California, I think it's $30 now, $30 an hour or something.
Yeah, and whereas, what they have to do is they have to raise their prices so then all of us see prices. The minimum wage was never meant to be a living wage. It was never meant to be something that you can raise your family of four on and have a nice house with a white picket fence and two cars in the driveway. It was meant to
for
high school kids, and it's meant for people who are just starting off in business to work their way up the ladder. And
absolutely, totally agree with that 1,000%. But what happened was in California is they had so many illegal immigrants that basically took all those jobs.
Yeah.
So they wanted to make sure that they had a living wage. And to hell with everybody else. Excuse my French. To heck with everybody else.
You can say hell on the radio. It's one of the few we can use.
Yeah, but I appreciate your time. Yeah, I appreciate you guys getting the word out there.
No, I appreciate you, Howard. Thanks a lot for calling in. Call it anytime. And anytime you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Before we go, let's check on the weather real quick because it is Friday and you want to enjoy your weekend. Today we're going to see a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's going to be humid with a high of 87. Then tomorrow, look for clouds, sun, humid, high of 78 degrees. On Sunday, same thing. Mix of clouds and sun, high of 85. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend.